My name is Tanya Weigel, and I'm interviewing Gladys Hilton Buckner in Jerusalem Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. It's February 23rd, 2008. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Prince Edward County, Virginia, December 17th.
How long have you lived in Roanoke?
I've lived in Roanoke. I've been in Roanoke since I was about 18 months old, and I've been here ever since. And after I graduated from high school, I went to New York for about a year, and then I returned back to Roanoke. And I've been here ever since.
Okay.
All right.
Tell me about your parents and your brothers and sisters.
Okay. I have one brother. He's younger. And my mom's downstairs. And, well, I just had a good life. I've had a good life, and I'm still having a good life. And, well, I went to school, graduated from Lucy Addison High School in 1955. After graduation, that winter, I was a debutante. And I worked at Borough Hospital, and then, well, I got married. I have three children. I worked at GE for 29 years. I'm retired, and I'm just enjoying life.
What was your family life, home life, like growing up in Roanoke?
Oh, it's good. I enjoyed my childhood.
What kind of activities did you do?
Oh, well, church, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and, well, then growing up, before I started school, I would come out here to the church. Mrs. Hunter, who was the pastor's wife, she had a, well, we called it play school. I'd come out to the play school. And really that's, you know, other than being in the neighborhood with the other children in the neighborhood, come out here to Miss Hunter's play school, and I just enjoyed myself. And we rode our bicycles, we skated, we played. Then, well, in growing up, I would say the children now, they really don't know what playing is, because we could take a stick or a leaf and we would really have a good time. We'd have, like, tea parties, and we got along very well. Yeah, and then, you know, winter was winter then, and it was snow. Then snow did not keep us from going to school. We went to school, and teachers, when they had their meetings, we were in the classroom doing assignments, and they had their meeting, and things have changed. And you know, when my children grew up, they, you know, teachers had a meeting, they had a day out of school. We went to school, snow, rain, sleet, whatever, we went to school. And when it was snow, when I was a child on 14th Street, we would sleigh ride, because that was a hill, and we would sleigh ride, and we just had a lot of fun. And I enjoyed growing up.
What was your house like? Did you have a yard or a garden?
Oh, yes, we had a yard. We had a front yard. We had a backyard. We had a swing on the porch. And, well, I enjoyed that swing.
Did your family sit there together?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we ate meals together. And that's something that families very rarely do nowadays. But when my children were growing up, we sat down at the table. We said our blessing. And we ate together. And then they grew up, finished school, went their separate ways. But when they, you know, when they do come, we all eat together. And I always have Thanksgiving dinner. And then my mother, at one time, when she, you know, she would always have Christmas dinner. And we always went to Mom's for Christmas dinner. And it's just like a family reunion. And we just had a good time.
Did you have extended family living nearby when you
were growing up? My grandparents. Well, I was around my grandparents a lot because my mom worked and I was with them. And her younger siblings, before they grew up and got married and moved out. And I grew up, I basically grew up around them. And just had a lot of fun.
What type of work did your family do?
Well, my grandma didn't work. My grandfather worked for the railroad. And basically, Mama was a hairdresser. So that's basically what she did.
Did anyone in your family attend college?
Yeah, my cousins and my husband, he went to school for a while. But he didn't, you know, he didn't stay. He went to school, I'd say, but he went to college about a year after he got out of the service.
What type of work did you and your husband do?
Well, he started out working at the veterans, and then he went to GE to work, and that's where I worked. I worked out in the factory, but we both did. I was a wireman, a similar wireman, and he was a wireman also.
And he was in the service?
Yeah, my husband, he did. Yeah, he was in the Navy for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else in your family in the military?
My grandson, and then cousins, and my brother was in the service, and my uncle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My father was in World War II.
What is your fondest childhood memory?
Oh, gracious. I have a lot of.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I enjoy. Okay. My mother's youngest brother. He was like 3 years older than me. And he would shoot marbles. And I liked to shoot marbles. He taught me how to shoot marbles. Well, as a matter of fact, he taught me how to do a lot of things. But I did. I enjoyed shooting marbles. And there was a game called Jack Rocks. I liked playing Jack Rocks. And I liked skating also. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of fun. Yeah.
What type of cultural events were happening when you were growing up around here?
Oh, all right. Oh, good gracious. We would go every year there was a May Day program. And there was an auditorium. We would go to the auditorium to see plays. And then we used to go to Victory Stadium was called Mar Fields then. We would go there for different things. All right, like there was always, what do you call it? It's been so long, I can't remember exactly everything. Oh, it was like May Day, and it was just, they had a pole, and they had the streamers, and different color streamers, and we would wrap the maypole. And then, it's different day. Okay, ball games. We did that. We always.
Who were the main community leaders at that time growing up?
Let's see. There was a man. Okay, this scout leader was Paul Scott. And then there was a lady named Juanita Jones. She was this Girl Scout leader. And wait a minute, it was somebody else. Paul Scott, Juanita. But it was somebody else too. And of course, Reverend Hunter. He was the pastor here then. And there was a pastor here before Reverend Hunter, but I am really not too familiar with him. I saw him, but I wasn't that familiar with him. But Reverend Hunter is the pastor that I was most familiar with. And I basically looked at him as the leader of Southwest. Because he made the community aware of things that was going on in the city. And well, I'll always remember Reverend Hunter. I say Reverend Hunter was the father of Southwest.
Did you have any other role models in your life?
Reverend Hunter? Other than Reverend Hunter? Okay. My mother's oldest sister. She died when I was young, but I always visualize her. Because during the summer, she would come and get me and take me to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But she died when I was about 9 or 10 years old. But I remember her. And then my mother's two younger sisters. You see, I was around them a lot. And they were more or less, I guess, say big sisters. Because they carried me around with them a lot. And the youngest one, she was very mischievous. But, yeah.
What types of stores and businesses did your family go to around here?
Oh, the grocery store. At that time, it was like Hieronymus, N&W Pews. And let's see, it was Phelps announced it, and I can't think. It was another. And then they would go down to the market. But yeah,
what types of jobs were available for people at that time?
Well, mostly it was, well, for the women, it was mostly domestic work. Or else, well, it's still domestic work. They worked in the homes and, like, cleaning, you know, in the hospitals, cleaning, like that. I still say domestic work. And the men, most of the men worked for the railroad. And then there was another plant here. All I know is they called it the silk mill. But I can't tell you what they produced or anything like that. But that was mostly what was available then.
What do you think are the biggest changes you've seen in Roanoke since your childhood?
The biggest changes? Well, integration was one big change. And then I guess there's been a lot of changes. Like, you know, the malls came. And, all right, when I was growing up, there were transportation. Streetcars. I just like that, streetcars. And then the buses came. So the buses are still here, but, you know, that is really. But, see, when I'm sitting at home by myself, I can think of a lot of things, but when you need to, you can't remember. But basically.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention about what you think about Roanoke or your neighborhood here?
Well, the neighborhood, I don't know, it seems like this was a vibrant neighborhood, but it seems like in the past few years, even now, they've sort of pushed this neighborhood aside. See, a lot of things that's going on in other neighborhoods, it seems like the city has just more or less said forget Southwest. But basically, it's a good place to live.
Any other memories?
Oh, I have a lot of memories. Oh, yeah, I have a lot of memories. But she.
Would you like to share?
Yeah, I still have friends that live up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, basically everybody has basically moved out of Roanoke. And some, they leave, but they come back. And I guess because of the housing That is why a lot of them are not in Southwest. They're in Northwest, Northeast. Well, the majority, they come, when they do come back, they basically go to the county. And see, Roanoke, I don't know, it's something, well, a few of my friends that live in the county, they said Roanoke is not, so Roanoke is really basically you paying, you're paying taxes, your taxes constantly go up, but they're not getting what they're paying for. So I wouldn't know what they pay in the county because I don't live in the county, and so therefore, but they go and see. Now this is okay. I have a friend that lives in Northern Virginia, and she tells me Roanoke is money hungry, but what are they doing with the money? See, look at Salem. See, Salem has moved on, and Roanoke is doing what? Nothing. And I told her, well, they're doing something. She said, no, what are they doing? She said, it seems like there is infighting. So I told her, well, maybe so, I don't know. But she says, well, I'm trying to think. No, she still has relatives yet, but her parents, I think her parents are deceased. But she says, I retired, but I am in Virginia, but I'm not coming back to Roanoke. She says, I'll stay in Northern Virginia. She says, she worked in D.C. I think she worked D.C. in New York. And she says, Virginia. She says, Roanoke, Virginia. She says, Roanoke really should be on the map. And I said, well, we are on the map. She says, yeah, she says, but. She says, my friends consider Roanoke as country. I said, well, it's not country. She said, yes, it is. She says, Roanoke, really? She says, Roanoke is just not moving. She says, Roanoke is at a standstill. She says, Roanoke hasn't improved too much since I left. And she says, you know, I've been gone 30-some years. I said, well, yes, you're right. She says, I left from high school. I said, well, that's more than 30 years, you know. She says, yeah, but she says, no. She says, Roanoke is not, it's not growing. And she says, Roanoke is just at a standstill. She says, what does Roanoke have to offer? I said, well, there's a lot to do if you want to do something. I said, there's the symphony, I said, there are plays and everything. But
do you know, do you think there's a time when that changed that you remember?
Now, I'm going to say this. Revitalization. I think has a lot to do with Roanoke not expanding. And now like the Civic Center, all Magic City Ford and all of those. See, that was a neighborhood. People live down there. And now you see what's there, the Civic Center, Magic City, Fort Worth, all of that. And I think that drove a lot of the residents of Roanoke out of Roanoke. And I don't know. I guess because I grew up here. And, well, I tried New York, but New York is cold. And the people in Roanoke are friendly. And when you're just out of high school and you go to a place like New York, that's a drastic change. And see, I couldn't adjust to it. I'm the type of person, if I see you, I say hello. And see, if I say hello to you and you know, what are you speaking to me for? You know, that type of attitude. And you live next door to each other and you don't even, you know nothing. And you don't even speak. I just couldn't adjust. So I said, well, I'll try it. I tried it and I said, no, this is not the place for me. So I came back. And I've been here ever since. And it just happened that my husband, well, see, we met in high school. And he went in the service. And he came back. Now, he lived away for a while, but he came back. So that's just it. And the majority of us, well, the majority of my friends, we stayed. Some left. They came back. Some didn't. And, but the ones that I was more closer to, they stay here. I have a couple says, no, I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Stay right here. You know, well, the majority of us are family oriented, so we don't go too far from family. Family and friends, and you go to a place like New York, you don't find that.
So you stay there. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That's about it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.